This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yep, it's a Monday morning. It's the coldest so far. Ben came in here and he looked like he'd just faced a tornado. I mean, it's the equivalent of tornado in terms of how cold it is outside. Holy
it's
mother
invigorating.
Of Jesus. Yeah, it's well, gets in your bones, and you do that cold shower, so.
Yeah. But half an hour ago, I had cold water pulsating onto my body.
Yeah, I interviewed a dude called Marnus Broedrijk, and we'll play that interview. I know that sounds like I'm trying to parody his surname, but it's hard to say it. You can't say Broedrijk, or it sounds like you're an English person who can't speak Afrikaans. And if you say it properly in Afrikaans, you have to go Broedrijk, which is it's a tough surname to say in a neutral way, you know. So I'm really not trying to mock the surname when I say that. It's just a hard one to say in English. English people can't say that surname. So.
Well, it's like any Dutch person. You get into those Dutch names.
Oh, yeah.
To really do it. Yeah.
Well, listen, we got to talk soccer. We got to talk Eskom. So we got to talk Sashi Naidu. We've got to talk.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus, there's a menu of stuff for you this morning. You're just going to be busy all day.
It's a proper action-packed weekend.
Yeah, so Sia, Ben, and I are here with you this morning. As you know, Mubs' last show on Friday, and we had a whole plan for this morning, a big surprise and an unveiling of someone who we know you're going to love. But you'll just have to hang on a little longer. Sorry, I hate to tickle your ass with a feather, but there we go.
Oh,
it's quite a sensation.
Jeepers.
Why did you look at me, Ben?
Sia, I'm getting my phone out of the way, and
okay.
You're on my right.
All righty.
It's always about you.
All right, so... plenty to get into, but first of all, we were talking about this Marnus Broedrijk thing, and the reason he came up is because I spoke to him on Friday, and you'll hear the interview this week?
Tomorrow.
Okay, there we go. You don't even have to wait more than a day. So this guy is gone, and he, at 24, he'd made his first million rand. He was a millionaire.
He seemed like at the moment he walked in on Friday.
Right.
He just had that air about him.
And such a humble, such a generous, kind human being. Not, you know, usually if someone's a millionaire, they come in, I'm rich, I'm really, really rich. I've met a lot of millionaires like that. And I don't know, I've never thought about whether or not I became a millionaire at this age or that age or whether I've even got there or not, because I have a bond. I mean, you know, if you look at my balance sheet, you wouldn't say I'm a millionaire. And starting a business, as Madness will tell you in his interview, is hard. But what I liked about his interview, what I found interesting, is I got into practical things with him. A lot of people talk to millionaires and they ask them about their particular business, and how they do things like accounting and how they do things like hiring. And we didn't get into any of that. Well, the hiring thing a little bit, because he only hires millennials, and I was interested in how that works. But
sounds like herding cats.
Well, I'm mostly high millennials, if you think about it. But the fact is, he told me about his daily routine. This is fascinating. Like, what time he wakes up, when he does his emails, when he goes to gym, he's got balance. He's got a real sense of balance in his life, which I'm hugely envious of. I don't have that balance. I tell you now, I cannot get to sleep early.
Yeah.
And I cannot get used to this waking up early. I lay in bed this morning. Sia is my, like, backup wake-up call. So he'll phone me at, what is it, 20 to 5?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my, like, backup wake-up call. If I haven't already woken up myself, and you can hear it, some mornings I'm awake, some mornings I'm really not fucking coping very well. Anyway, I wake up, and I don't enjoy it. This guy seems to take great pleasure in having this routine. It gives him energy. He goes to sleep. He says 9 o'clock in the evening. He's in bed and asleep.
Damn right, I love
Gets
that.
Gets things done. Yeah, no, I know. And you're pretty good at this routine thing too. You
pretty
are.
Good. I could sleep now. If you said you want to go sleep, I could fall asleep on that couch.
Oh, listen, I can sleep anytime. This weekend, I spent a lot of time sleeping, man. I just envy the guy because he has a feeling and a sense of balance which I have not yet attained, and that irritates me because I'm older than him and. He has got a couple of things right that you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a millionaire to figure out that these are good habits. He's got them right. So I tried this yesterday. I went to sleep quite early last night. And I woke up this morning a little bit earlier than usual. and I did some things, which I don't normally. Normally, your morning is a rush.
Mm-hmm.
You're, oh, God, I got to get in the shower.
Be a rush.
Oh, God, I got to do this. And you get your blood pressure up, and you have a shitty start to your day, and you're just going to have a shit day. Full stop.
You know, Gareth, the great Mr. Gary Player said that if you are about to go play a golf tournament where everything about tempo and decisions are important, you cannot start your day rushed, because you're going to rush decisions and then suddenly you make a double bogey. I know it's a pure golf analogy, but it holds true to your day. Because if you start with the right tempo, then you can make good decisions throughout the day and you can keep things on an even tempo.
Absolutely, Ben. Gary Player is a walking Jesus. He knows these things.
Yeah,
a stomach-crunching Jesus. Let's give him credit.
And also running Jesus. You know, he doesn't really stay still. Right.
Is it a thing of balance? Or what I took out of the conversation is his diligence and his commitment to diligence.
No, so he does this daily. He doesn't do it like I did this morning, which is a one-off. I'm going to try and do it again tonight and tomorrow night and so on. But here's the deal. He made me jealous because he said he wakes up and he has this room where he goes and he sits with a cup of coffee. First thing, he hasn't showered anything. He goes and sits in this room with his cup of coffee. It's his room. It's like off to the side. He doesn't wake up anyone else in the house. And he sits there with his cup of coffee and he just clears his mind. He just calmly starts his day by arranging his thoughts, giving his brain a moment to file things, figuring out what the route map is, you know, like you would before a big journey, every day. Now, that gives you clarity, man.
See, then that's when I would fall back to sleep.
Now, you see that? You can't do.
Yeah, but it's a conditioning thing. Like, you didn't just suddenly do this. It's just baby steps.
I just loved that. I loved that. I left on Friday on such a high after talking to this dude. And, you know, he's not the most fascinating guest we've ever had. You could weigh him up with other guests, and you might find him... I don't know. Someone might listen to his discussion with me tomorrow and think, "Ugh, this is not interesting." But I implore you to just sit through what you're not interested in—the business stuff, the life story. You know, a lot of people don't care about that life story stuff because there's so much of it on media these days.
Mm.
You hear about everyone has suffered because that's like a badge of honor, and it's amazing to me, like his story, while it contains some suffering, is not a victim story.
Yeah.
He tells a heartbreaking story about his mother not being able to give them supper one night, and she was crying in bed, and he walked in and he saw her crying in bed, and he just said to her, "You know, Mom, I'm not even hungry," which of course he was. And for a parent, that is probably the worst feeling in the world. You know, yesterday was Father's Day. The feeling of not being able to provide for your kid must be the most depressing thing a parent can ever encounter in their lives. And then for the kid to see their parents brought low by that must be one of the hardest things ever, because then you, at a very young age, you realize your father or mother is not able to help you any. They're not superhuman. And for a kid to realize that very early on is not necessarily a good thing, because it means that you realize the world is predatory and, you know, your parents are not able to defend you from danger and provide for you. And that's scary, because then you're left in the wilderness very young. But it motivated him. It didn't make him depressed and miserable. And again, I hazard to bring this up because we're doing a show, a series called Man to Man, with a guy called Craig Wilkinson. You would have met him on this show. And Craig has put together an incredible series on what it is to be a father, what it is to be a man, why there is so much ugliness in masculinity in South Africa, what the particular problems that we have are. And he's got an incredible American co-host who I can't wait for you to hear. I cannot wait for you to hear this. It's already been sponsored. Everybody's trying to get on board with this podcast. It's going to be exactly what South Africa needs. If you want to talk about Father's Day yesterday, and we can get into this a bit later on, because I have a very odd take on Father's Day, as you'd expect. And don't get me wrong, I'm by no means challenging convention, because I love the idea of nuclear families and I love the idea of fathers, and I grew up in a family like that. Why would I have a problem with it? There are different ways to do things these days, though, and we'll talk about that a little later. But this Craig Wilkinson's put together the show about being a man, what it really means, and masculinity, and what that means, and toxic masculinity and powerful masculinity. And he and his co-host, whose name escapes me for the moment, but you're going to love this guy. He's lived a life, man. He was in prison for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He has kids. He was a gangster and a criminal in America. He was a real, like, hoodlum. And his story is powerful beyond words because he'll tell it to you himself. But the guy has such a clear, just like Magnus Brodrick has this clear idea of how to start his day and how to get things done. This guy has this clear idea, and it's crystallized over real hardship and difficulty and lessons from his own child. You're either going to cry or it's going to make you change the way you live your life. And if you're already the kind of person who thinks you've got balance, maybe it'll just reinforce that. So there's something in it for everybody. And this show to me is why yesterday, as Father's Day, is always the quietest day on Twitter in South Africa. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of pain around Father's Day. There really is. Mm. It's an ugly time in that year of things where you self-reflect.
Mm.
And in this country, people don't enjoy Father's Day for very obvious reasons. We've got a massive fatherlessness problem, whether it's because of apartheid and politics, because that's a large part of it, whether it's because of the breakdown of the nuclear family, which is more of an individual thing because some families have held it together. You know, I saw a friend of mine, a guy called Benedict Macher, you might remember him. He used to be on 702 with me years ago. He was a car journalist, among other things. He's a news journalist. He was a very capable human being. He put up the most beautiful picture of him and his two daughters and his wife. They're in New York. I don't know whether they're living there now, whether they're... He's a Facebook friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some words about being a father. I might read them to you later. I just thought, you know, this guy's got his shit together, and he is unfortunately in the minority. A lot of fathers just are absent. Forget about whether they're good or bad. They're absent, which is obviously bad. And then we lionize the single mother, who is often a single mother not by choice. She just have to. She's got to make it happen. You know, she's got to work double time. She's got to put in absolutely four times the effort with the kids because she's on her own. And we make these women heroines, which they are. But we start to imagine that the world of single mothers is equivalent to the kind of world a child could grow up if it has a father, and it isn't. A male child in particular, there's something that a single mother can never provide. God bless all the single mothers, don't get me wrong. But we tend to think they can fill that gap if they just work extra hard, which they can't do. And I think about Father's Day, and I just think that is the toughest time in South Africa. Forget about Youth Day and all the political suffering. For most people, it's about their own lives. It's about their own circumstances. And they don't get through that stuff because their dad was never there. And it's not – I often make this glib comment that it's that you didn't get enough hugs from your dad. But that's not it. It's everything from being a role model to providing to creating security to showing you how to treat a woman. And Craig goes into all of this stuff, which I can't wait for you to hear. It's going to be such a powerful podcast.
I remember when he was in here for his first interview he had here, how powerful that was. And he's got those books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's written a bunch of books.
Yeah.
He's just got, you know what, he's, if I didn't have a great father, and I'm lucky I do, I'm really lucky. It's just lucky. Sometimes you're just lucky.
Yeah.
I would want a father like him. I mean, I'm only a couple of years younger than him, but my God, the guy just exudes this like loving, approachable, friendly, generous, kind, compassionate aura. Mm. And so does his co-host. You're going to love it. Anyway, let me not rattle on about this because we can get into it a little later. So what we've got coming up, the money shot, obviously Anthea's in today. CS still hasn't given us the lowdown on what went down at the Generation Next. You didn't stay for the awards, did you?
I did. We were recording.
Because Nasty C was there.
He had to. See, it's a big deal of these things.
What do you mean I had to?
You can't just leave. stay.
You mean people came to see him?
Yeah.
It's quite funny you raise that up. Someone like at the conference last week, Thursday, they were looking at me from across the room. I was like, what's going on? And you know, you turn every so often.
Yeah.
And I was we were locking eyes. I thought, this is so weird. And finally, they summed up some courage and they approached me. They said, hi. you're that guy from Cliff Central, aren't you?
Look at you.
I thought, oh my gosh, yes, I am, yes. And then she goes, oh, where's Gareth? I'm like, oh, damn it. That's it. I thought it was my moment and it's gone.
Well,
like,
well, a lot of the time people open with where's Gareth rather than you're the guy from Cliff Central. So at least you got that much.
You know what? Yeah. The bottom line was he just wanted a selfie with you.
With me?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't? Oh.
No, not me at all. I thought it was a moment and it just like vanished quickly. But that is it.
See, I generally open, I counter open by saying Gareth's over there.
Oh, just to avoid any false hope, just move them along.
I had. How was your weekend, by the way?
How was, what did you do, Sia?
I had my sister who came over from Durban, and she was.
This is the non-pregnant sister.
No. Yeah. Non-pregnant one lives in Durban.
Right.
And she came to visit, and basically it was a trip to introduce us to her new boyfriend.
Ooh.
Which is
to
just
get approval, basically.
Oh, bless his heart, because it's always a no-go zone with us. Whatever you think of me, multiply that by four, and then you get my siblings and I. So if you think I'm loud, imagine all of us together. And if you think I'm opinionated,
You think that part of why you're not loud, you're just you're expressive and you're
okay. No, I mean
people don't dislike you when they meet you. So you're not loud and annoying. Like loud and annoying is like Barbara Streisand. You know? You're not like that. But the fact that you're like that is probably because you're the fourth out of four siblings. You had to make a noise to be noticed.
Yeah, but I'm the opposite. I'm the fourth of four siblings.
Yeah, well, you were raised in the wild. You weren't even in the family. They used to leave you out in the cold at night. That's why you can take cold showers and survive.
Oh, that's the full circle moment. Also, I
use body language for a great majority of my upbringing.
Oh, just by the way, before we get to Sia and his family dynamics around the new boyfriend for his sister,
yes.
I just want to point out that Ben actually, was it you or was it your dad who put up a picture? It could even have been your brother, because I've got you all as friends, I think, on Facebook. But there was a very, very lovely picture of the four of you. You, your two brothers, and your dad.
Yeah, it's on my Instagram.
It's very hard to tell who the oldest is and who the youngest is, because your dad looks really young.
Yeah, see, I'm quite old about the face, and people always... Well, I am. And I'm the skinny one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people always make those comments like, my dad looks very young. He does. He looks great for his age.
How old is your dad now?
66.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean, I mentioned Benedict Mach and his daughters, and then I see your dad and his three sons. And I mean, it's just nice to see these families where people, and you can tell, like, you can tell if someone's just put up a picture that they had to dig out of a box from 8 years ago, that they don't speak to their dad anymore, but they need to put up, they're pressured to put something
in the day of it all.
Yeah.
And you know, when they took that picture 3 seconds afterwards, everyone separated.
But you can tell from a photograph whether people really like each other. I don't even think your dad is looking at the camera on the picture that you put up or whoever put up, because he's looking at you three.
Yeah, we had a great day. He was up for the weekend, so he came up too. We had a nice try.
Oh, that's nice.
Really nice. Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah. You see, on the flip side as well, with our family dynamics, my parents came up yesterday and they're spending the weekend. We're like, nah. Yeah, we'll see on Wednesday.
Your dad still has a house here, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. So they not stay with you, though?
No, my door is now. I took your advice after last week.
You're already the swing residence for your sister, right?
I have the revolving door with all of my family members. Jesus. No.
All right, so your sister's boyfriend, how's that going?
So she really had to, he had to really pull out all the stops to impress us.
I'll bet.
And it's all of us with all our different expectations, because now he has to feign conversation with me, and he's a big sports guy. He was referencing soccer, and I was like, dude, wrong tree here. Barking.
No, not going to happen. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Every day you get everything you need in sports. You can take it further and make that guy's life easier.
Oh, Ben.
Stand there. Oh, no, wrong tree.
Oh,
bro.
I couldn't. My sister was the one who was watching the match last night, not me. But yeah, it was actually quite
cool. Which match? The Brazil one?
What was on last night?
Could have been the Germany one. Could have been Germany-Mexico.
Mexico played. There we go. That's what I remember.
I have leapt into World Cup action.
Are you also one of those?
Oh my God. I've been watching so much football.
You know, my sister actually tried to explain it to me. She said it's not about the actual soccer. It's about the event and the festivities of it all.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying last week.
Look at me. Listen to Ben, but look at me. Because I'm not... Normally, I don't know the first damn thing. I find myself remembering names of the forwards and the backs and the goalkeeper, and then suddenly I know who the coach is, and then I'm comparing teams, and I'm offering opinions, which I would never do about football the rest of the year. I wouldn't know where to start, and I'd sound like an idiot. It just allows everybody a little bit of an entry into football. It's beautiful.
And that's what FIFA knows. That's why they've made so much money out of football.
That's why they swarm around a country like locusts and take it over for a year.
Is it true that FIFA owns the term or has trademarked the term World Cup?
Well, it's the FIFA World Cup.
You know, if you type in World Cup, it doesn't bring up the rugby or the tennis or the anything. It's a football thing. That's what happens.
That is power, jeez. And then, my weekend wrapped up with my first taste of this load shedding with Eskom.
No, yeah, that's nice. We'll talk about that later
And now just driving to work this morning. Certain parts were affected still in Johannesburg. So, Eskom, so that was my weekend in a nutshell.
All right, well, very good. Yours, Ben? You said your dad was up here?
Yeah, so he came up for the weekend, and Friday, we didn't get load shedding, I don't think.
Friday?
Yeah.
Depends where you work.
No, I think Friday we were fine. But then Saturday, as the beast is running out in his 100th test for the box, literally, he gets to the middle of the field, cut.
Oh, no.
Power, gone.
That was so sweet that he took his kids, though, onto the field.
Yeah, they all do. That's very, the same.
Okay, well, I haven't seen that before.
They all do it. Luckily, our local bar had a generator.
So you went down the road.
Yeah, so I ran there, and there must have been, I think everyone just sort of falling out of their houses going to this place. So eventually there was like 150 people all watching the rugby.
Yeah.
All loving the rugby because it's just so exciting right now. And then, we watched a fair bit of World Cup. But, it's a cool time of year to watch these kind of things because, like you say, Gareth, it's a big event to get around. People who don't normally care about something, there's, this sort of mutual interest in just a big event, which is what it should be. So FIFA, criminals, all that kind of stuff, Russia, dodgy.
You put it all aside.
You all put it aside for
a
month.
I remember we did something similar with the World Cup in 2010. We put aside our loathing and disregard for our own government and joined in the fun. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about this morning. It's already 6:30. It's time for us to get into the 5 things you need to know. And as I said a little earlier, we have surprises lined up for you that we'll be changing the show with in the next couple of days. But I'm not going to reveal those until all the parts are in play. And in the meantime, you're just going to have to put up with Sia and Ben and me. And today, obviously, Anthea as well. So there are a lot of news stories that are worth reflecting on. The 5 things you need to know today. Let's begin with, the Liberty customers. I got a message. I don't even know if I am a Liberty customer. I might have a policy with them or something. You'd think I'd know, whether I did, but I honestly don't. So Liberty customers have not suffered financial losses due to a cyber attack. That's according to their CEO. And I actually got a message, I'm sure you did if you're a Liberty customer, saying that there had been a cyber attack. And the CEO has come out very quickly to say that they didn't have any financial losses, but that there could have been a data seize. Apparently someone had got into their systems and seized some data and demanded a payment. Mm. Yeah, it's like a hostage taking in the 21st century. To be clear, he says, at this stage, there is no evidence that any of our customers have suffered any financial loss. We will proactively inform our customers individually if and when we discover they may have been impacted, CEO David Munro told a press briefing. He added that the firm was at an advanced stage of investigating the data breach, and so far it seemed hackers had access to largely emails and possibly attachments. But you never know. I mean, if those emails have attachments that include financial information, then they know. And trust me, here's the scary thing, is that they're not going to get into your account and steal your money necessarily, or discover that your policy matures when you're 68. What they're going to discover is that you're a person with a lot of investments. And then guess what they're going to do? Hack you.
Ooh.
So this is just the entry point for them to get a whole lot more people that they can hack. And if they do it once and they get paid, then they'll keep trying, right? Eskom. Eskom 0% wage offer is off the table after Pravin Gordhan intervened, and we'll talk about Eskom later on. But Minister Pravin Gordhan convened a meeting on Friday with Eskom's board and management, as well as the National Union of Mine Workers and the National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, as well as Solidarity. All parties agreed to negotiate a new wage deal and restore production to prevent further blackouts. Well, that's good news. The department's Richard Mantu said the minister's concern was that the destruction of electricity infrastructure and interruptions in the power supply, which is not going to benefit any party, nor the country or the economy, needs to be stopped. So now the parties agreed on a process to resume the negotiations with immediate effect. And on Friday, Eskom also announced it had suspended load shedding. But a lot of people had load shedding over the weekend.
Yep.
So I don't know what this means. Of course, the unions are taking no responsibility, like they always do. It's amazing how the unions expect to be paid more because they say they're so important. But when things go wrong, oh, it couldn't be us. We're not important. It's just, I don't know if we still need unions like this, in particular like this, like NUM and the Metal Workers Union. To me, these guys are an anachronism of the Industrial Revolution that have no real place in society now. They represent so few per capita of the population of working people in South Africa. And remember, our biggest problem isn't the working population, it's the unemployed population. That you've got to question whether or not these people actually represent anybody significant at all. Or whether they're just unions within COSATU, within, and sometimes without COSATU, but in often cahoots with the ANC, who are also the people who are paying the wages through government. So you've got to ask yourself, isn't this a little bit of a decoy? Isn't this a don't look here while we pay people here situation? Who are we really being held ransom by? And it only takes a surface investigation of how it all works for you to become enlightened as to how the only person being screwed in all of this is the taxpayer. We'll talk about that later.
Which shouldn't get screwed so often, seeing as how important they are to the process.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Brian Molefe has... This guy was so... He was not even ankle deep or knee deep. He was neck deep in state capture. And how he could have gone on TV and cried and expected a single scintilla of sympathy from us is unbelievable. So it turns out the Sunday Times is saying that Molefe may be facing criminal charges for various corruption and misconduct offences.
Good.
Yeah, exactly. Former Transnet boss and former Eskom boss and former every other state-owned enterprise boss, Brian Molefe, has been implicated in a legal draft forensic report for reportedly mismanaging funds and lying to the board during his tenure. Such a rotten person. And remember, he could have been finance minister at a certain time.
That was the plan.
Yep. Sunday Times is saying that Molefe may be facing criminal charges. The paper's reporting the offences relate to the purchase of 1,064 new locomotives for the parastatal war. We all know what happened there. The forensic report by ADC and Ndlovu attorneys says Molefe misled the Transnet board into approving costs. Board members were presented with a report on Wednesday where they were told Molefe and three others increased the locomotive deal by at least 16 billion to 54 billion in 2014 to a Gupta-linked company. So we know what his colors are. His colors are corruption. Overseas, a prosecutor said a 33-year-old man was killed and a second suspect arrested after gunfire erupted at 3 a.m. at the event in the city of Trenton, which is just southwest of New York City, where a New Jersey arts festival was taking place and there was a shooter. America just has so many people with guns, so many people with mental illness, and this suspected gunman was fatally shot after multiple people opened fire at an all-nights art festival in New Jersey, wounding 20 people, including a boy who is in critical condition. But they killed the shooter. It's important. And if there wasn't someone to kill the shooter, you've got to ask yourself how many other people might have been hurt. Hmm. Right? So there we go. That's important. What else is important in the news? Let me give you one last thing. Balegambete. Apparently, Jacob Zuma is spilling the beans. And he started with Balegambete. Well, people are saying he's the source. Parliament's National Assembly Speaker, Bale Gambete, says she will seek legal advice following allegations lodged against her on social media. Various accounts on Twitter allege that Mbete owns 146 trucks and has several business interests which were not divulged to Parliament's Registrar of Members' Interests. Anyone surprised?
No, not me. You go.
Anyone happy to believe this is true already? Mbete terms the accusations false, malicious, and defamatory, and says this is unacceptable. She added all her assets have been declared as required by the Parliamentary Ethics Code. Well, we'll see. Won't we? Doesn't take too long to figure out who it is that is transporting all of this stuff to and fro and whose trucks they are. Because there's money. Wherever there's money, you can make a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up in someone's bank account. And if any of it ends up in hers, then we know what we're dealing with. A criminal. Because if you don't declare this stuff to Parliament, according to the rules of Parliament, you're a criminal. Parliamentary spokesperson Moloto Motapo says the Speaker has noted with dismay the two tweets which have been retweeted several times and have already been rehearsed by other Twitter accounts. Rehearsed? Sounds like an actual campaign. Well, we shall have to see what happens there, won't we? But there we go. Bale Gambete, always in the middle of some kind of controversy. All right, let's get to Ben and the sport. Let's get to cryptocurrencies and let's get to Anthea. All of those things are coming up next. Are you ready for them? Sitting comfortably? Prepared to start your Monday morning? Because that's what we're here to do. And by the way, the other thing that we want to address a little later on, this whole Sashi Naidu thing, which has got everybody on Twitter all outraged for the 275,000th time. Just pick your outrage. All right, quickly, Bitcoin... $6,416.62, still in the toilet. Ethereum, even more in the toilet, $493.34. It's dipped below 500. What a lot of shit. Let's go straight to Ben and find out what's happening in the world of sport. Ben,
yeah, Gareth, an incredible opening weekend at the World Cup. A couple of surprises, a couple of upsets. The Box are still running this whole rugby fourier.
Everything's fourier this year, huh?
This is a real fourier, though. Mm-hmm. There's a new ball tampering saga in cricket, and Brooks Koepka goes back-to-back in the US Open.
You didn't mention soccer! But that's all right.
I didn't what?
You didn't mention soccer.
That's the very first thing I said.
Oh, then I only heard from story two.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it.
Bring it on, Ben.
So, at the first game, of course, everyone was like, well, it's only Russia, it's only Saudi Arabia. Yes. Let's see some real action. And real action there was. I mean, what a great opening weekend. So, that first match was the Group A. And then Friday, we saw Egypt. First chance out. Was Salah going to play? Well, of course, he was always going to be in the mix because tournaments, organizers, everybody wants him to be there.
Uh-huh.
Didn't play, though. He was on the bench, didn't play. A very average match. So, Uruguay beating Egypt there 1-0. Mm-hmm. Some people were saying that, you know, Suarez wasn't even trying hard. Then Morocco versus Iran, heartbreaking own goal there. Saw Iran with the 1-0 win. And then the big one for the weekend, Portugal versus Spain. Now, jeez,
that was a match, huh?
This match started out with Ronaldo getting really caught up with the tax evasion. There was all that stuff about the fact that, no, I'm innocent. No, you weren't. You were evading tax.
Wow.
And he was fined 18.8 million euros, which is about just under 300 million rand. And he was given a 2-year jail time. So obviously in Spain, you don't go to jail unless it's just over 2 years.
Oh.
So that 2 years jail time is like an ornamental. We're very serious about this kind of thing. But he put it behind him.
Yeah.
He put it behind himself and went and scored 3 goals. So basically Ronaldo 3, Spain 3. It was a fantastic match. It was end to end. You can see both teams were just trying to find their feet in the tournament. It was quite loose. But David De Gea, well, he pulled a carrier's. It's terrible. He completely fluffed the penalty. Well, there's a penalty. He didn't go too harsh on him. But the second goal, it should have been saved. And as for the free kick, everyone's going about, oh, it's a wonder goal. It's Ronaldo. It's brilliant. There was only one place that ball can go. A right-footed kicker, with the wall being where it is and him being on the right half of the field, he's only going to curl it into the top left corner of the goal. Where was De Gea? He was standing there like he was stoned or something. Didn't even make an effort. There was no movement to the left, nothing.
I think Ronaldo was just trying to prove that if someone will bail him out from this tax evasion, he's worth his money.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. A hat trick.
a hat trick.
Sweet
opening game. So,
and I mean, compare that to the next day, and I don't want to steal your story here, but with Lionel Messi, and you look what you got.
That's exactly where we're going with this, because this is the last World Cup for both Ronaldo and Messi, realistically.
Yeah.
Although, we look at the way Ronaldo's going, he might be in Qatar in 20.
He might be there when he's 80 years old.
Exactly, because he's actually getting better. The stats are that since he hit 30, he's been getting better as a footballer.
Yeah.
Now, I know once he gets to my age, 36, you see hamstrung completely, your body doesn't care anymore. But still, a hat trick for him. So it was over to Messi the next day, and we went from the greatest of all time scored a hat trick. The other greatest of all time had a penalty saved by a movie producer. That's basically the story here, because Iceland are made up of amateurs essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So Iceland 1-1. It was a frenetic start to that match, loads of chances for both sides. And then after that, it was all about Messi being marked out of the game. Iceland put about four guys in him at any given stage, and they had no answer for it. The chances came thick and fast, and then Messi even himself got a penalty, but the penalty was saved. Iceland draw that 1-1. The first game on Saturday was France just kind of getting better of Australia 2-1. Not convincing from France's perspective. They are one of the tournament favourites, but as I said to you last week, they are French, unfortunately, so they can't be too reliable. Other matches from the weekend, Peru, they went down to Denmark in a tight one, 1-0.
Yeah.
Croatia were too strong for Nigeria, 2-0, so a rocky start for the African teams. Yesterday, Serbia beat Costa Rica 1-0.
But man, don't Croatia look strong?
Well, they're a decent side. They've got a bloody strong midfield, and they've always had a pretty good team. So, I mean, they've always been a definite group go-throughah, a last 16 kind of team. Who knows, even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two big games for Sunday was Mexico versus Germany. Again, end-to-end stuff. These games are very, very entertaining.
And this Mexico-Germany, who didn't have their money in on Germany?
Germany,
and
everyone.
Then look what happened.
Everyone was on to Germany, but Germany, well, they were just
rubbish.
Caught out by these guys. The counterattacks were amazing by Mexico. They took the big chance in the first half, 1-0 up, and then Germany had nothing in the second half. Speaking of having nothing in the second half, Brazil, they went into the first half with a 1-0 lead. Switzerland were just another team in the second half. And again, it was all eyes on Neymar. All the big stars are being asked to pull the rabbit out of the hat with these teams, but it couldn't happen. So Switzerland drew 1-1. Very exciting first round of matches, it's got to be said. It didn't quite have the goals that, say, Rio 24 had in the first sort of weekend.
Excepting Ronaldo. So let's give him credit where it's due.
But exactly. So
he's the match winner. He's the guy who's the magic ingredient so far.
Yeah.
Might just be his World Cup.
Today we have Sweden versus Korea Republic, which is obviously South Korea. That's at 2:00 South African time. Then we've got Belgium versus Panama. Many people are saying that Belgium is the team to watch here. Bit of a dark horse. They've got star talent. Their time is now. That'll be at 5:00 South African time. And then the last game for today at the Volgograd Arena is Tunisia versus England. England, of course, they are basically the pro tiers of World Cup football, and they're looking to just like do away with the chokers tag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's your football. Could go into it for longer and longer, but we've got other things to go to, much like the rugby. Now, as I was saying last week, exciting time for SA Rugby because it genuinely is a new team. It's a new dawn. It's a new era. All these things that politicians...
New coach, new captain.
All these things that politicians try to claim onto, but then the next week they're still as dodgy as all hell. But the rugby's looking solid. Siya Kolisi, on his birthday, on Youth Day, he ran out, and again, his team went 12 points down early on. But then England did not score another point for about 68 minutes or whatever. The box was so superb. Dwayne Vermeulen in particular, I mean, just thinking back to this match, certain players are going to make this team great. If they can somehow keep the spine of it, obviously Malcolm Marx is going to come back from injury, although Bongi Mbonambi right now is playing so well. You can't fault this guy at all. We've got talent in the locks. If we can somehow get Dwayne Vermeulen, there's a chance he's not going to play most of the Rugby Championship, but we need him there. Mm-hmm. Fabtu Klokas wasn't as good as last week, the week before, sorry, but still so solid. Him and Andre Pollard are only going to get better and better. Centres, maybe that could be a bit of a downfall at the moment, but this team, you know, going into the series, we're the 7th-ranked team. We're already up to 3rd.
Yeah.
3rd-ranked team in the world. England, it's all falling away. Yeah, it really is. The result, by the way, 23-12. We all knew that anyway. Results for England is that that's now 5 test matches in a row that they've lost. If they lose at Newlands this weekend, it'll be 6 matches done. They haven't been that shy since 2007? 2006, around there. So, interesting times for England. But, this Bok team, they deserve all the credit they're getting right now. At the start of the series, I said we've got to really taper our expectations according to where this team is and where they've been. And right now, we have every right to celebrate them. So good on that. In other international rugby from the weekend, New Zealand were solid against France in the first half, and then another Frenchie got sent off because he just was, he tried to tackle a New Zealander. You know, that's mostly frowned upon. So he was sent off, and then second half, the French actually came back. 26-13, the final score there. Earlier in the day, Italy beat Japan away 25-22. Australia, they did not have an answer for the Irish in the first half, and then the Irish held firm onto that. 26-21, they won that one. Box, of course, winning 23-12. And Argentina, they lost to Wales at home 12-30. Another surprising result was America beating Scotland 30-29. Big, big shock result there. Because Scotland have been shit hot the whole year. And yeah, Gary Gold, ex-African man or ex-African involved coach, he's leading USA to good things. In Sri Lanka, there is ball tampering. Chandimal's tampering with the balls there, apparently. He's using sweet saliva and he's shining things. And then there was a dispute and then they wouldn't go onto the field like small children. So we'll see how that story develops. And finally, US Open Golf. Brooks Koepka won it. And just an incredible weekend of golf. But also at the same time, the USGA, I mean, you guys, you go from crazy golf to fun golf. You don't know what you're doing with these courses. Saturday was an absolute shit show. It really was. I mean, Dustin Johnson shot 77. Ricky Fowler shot 84 on Saturday. Then they turned it around so that everyone could actually care about golf again. The course was so playable yesterday. Ricky Fowler went from 84 to 65. He set the tone for the day. Tommy Fleetwood came out firing. He shot a 63, and he had the most makeable of putts to be the first guy to ever shoot 62 in the US Open. Unfortunately, pushed it wide, but he set the clubhouse lead at plus two, and Brooks Koepka came through, only winning by one in the end. So Fleetwood, that 62 would have got him into a playoff, technically speaking. But that's a big surprise. Everyone thought that maybe Dustin Johnson was going to hold firm after his 36-hole lead, or a couple of other chasing pack, but Brooks Koepka came through. Back to back, the first guy to do it in about 37 years. Just amazing, it really is. So we're seeing history in the making here, and it's a really good sign for the US Ryder Cup team, of course, because they're going to take some real major clout into Paris in September. That's all we got time for today in the sports. More tomorrow.
All right, thank you, Ben. It is time to check in with Anthea and find out what's happening with your money. And there's never a dull reason to check in on your money. There's never no reason to check in on your money. So why not check in right now? Let's see what Anthea's got for us on a Monday morning, first thing. And there's nothing like checking your bank balance first thing on a Monday. Whether or not you've had a good weekend, it doesn't seem to make any difference.
Gotta work hard for the money. So hard for the money.
She does.
So hard. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them.
Good morning, Anthea. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. Dancing for them dollars.
That's right.
What's this? I mean, surely we don't talk about the bank balance on the 18th of the month.
Nobody wants to.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you something. I reckon we've got to look at the nation's bank balance. And you brought this up the other day, and I've heard a lot of people talking about how South Africa is in deficit. In fact, it was Justice the other day who said how much money we owe compared to how much we owed 8 years ago. And we should be very worried about that bank balance. If you keep living in debt, what ends up happening? They come and take your stuff. The sheriff comes and takes your stuff.
Or in our case, they downgrade us. And then we're sub-investment grade and all sorts of horrible things happen. And the rand weakens and we can't afford to pay back our loans. And it's a horrible situation, but we are hugely in debt. I must say, our debt to GDP ratio, I think, if I remember correctly, is probably about 56% at the moment.
That's exactly
so
what it is.
So it's not extraordinary. The US is huge. Eh? I
mean, what are they at?
I don't know. Have a look at that. I'll Google it for you quickly.
but
it's right. Shocking. It's not.
All right. So while we're on these things, what did Fitch say about our rating at the moment?
So actually, they kept our rating stable. We're still sub-investment grade. They did say we're looking at what they called a mild recovery. Their problem, of course, SOEs are posing a financial risk, and so they're still worried about that. But they're okay with us at the moment. They're not upgrading us, put it that way.
But are we at junk with them?
I believe we are.
Yeah. All right. So here's the U.S. Government debt equivalent.
Debt to GDP ratio.
Yeah. Debt to GDP ratio is 105.4%.
There you go. Jesus. Okay. A lot more than I thought it was. Mm. There's so many numbers. There's so many ways of measuring this. You know, debt to GDP, debt to household income.
Let's not compare ourselves to that. Let's compare ourselves to ourselves 8 years ago.
And the problem with an emerging market is that we don't have the capacity to generate the amount of money that is required to get out of that debt. So the US, for example, if they called on that debt, would say, okay, well, fine, we're in debt and we can pay you back, or we can borrow from somewhere else. Or, I mean, that's not what you want to do, really.
Right.
What you want to do is manufacture and grow, and whereas we don't have that capacity. That's the problem.
All right.
So, yeah, so the rand, much weaker last week. Wow, very disappointing. A couple of things driving it. A lot of macro last week, not much in company news. And the first local macro was business confidence, which fell to 39. So this is an index, right? So it's not 39% or a ratio or anything. It's on a spectrum. Kind of 50 is your midpoint, and then anything above 50, you're comfortable. Anything below, uncomfortable. We fell to 39, which is 6 points lower than when we measured it when Cyril Ramaphosa got elected president, or became president. He wasn't elected, was he? He became president.
Well, he was elected by the ANC, but that's hardly democracy in action. That's called oligarchy, by the way.
Right. Yes.
All right.
And the issues that are being cited, again, these SOEs, government finances, our credit rating, real disposable income growth per capita, that's an issue, efficacy of the corporate boards, so that's deteriorating. I mean, you just have a look at, you name it. I mean, geez.
Well, we can just look at the history of a few big companies in the JSE in the last couple of months, and we'll see what you mean.
Exactly.
And we're not even talking about state-owned enterprises, which are so rotten as to be unbelievable that they're still alive.
Yeah.
All right. So, in other words, things are not in a great position from a business confidence point of view.
No. And I think, again, one of the big things that was cited was this land expropriation without compensation. It keeps coming up. That uncertainty in the market just is not good.
We cannot underscore how significant that situation is when you look at how it imperils the economy. Because if you don't have property rights, which is at the root of this expropriation without compensation discussion, if you don't have property rights, what's the point of having an economy? I mean, if you don't own things and other people can't buy them and you can't sell them, why get involved in the economy?
Yeah, and why would anyone invest?
Correct.
Would farmers invest? Foreigners invest?
There is no economy if you don't have property.
Yeah, because it can get taken away from you.
Correct.
At the
and don't think this is just about land. Everybody gets confused that it's about land. If land expropriation is possible, then any kind of expropriation is possible, because Section 25 of the Constitution is about all property. It means your car, your TV, it means your shares, it means your salary. Don't think that this doesn't undermine your economic position, no matter how rich or poor you are.
So there's one thing about trying to get votes, and then there's another thing about keeping the economy going, right? It seems to be what it's all about.
Well, Cyril really fucked up in his first couple of days if he allowed that to happen, and he did.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just look at some other stories. Peregrine?
Yeah, so Peregrine reported. So Peregrine, fairly big company, financial services. They own Citadel, Stenham, Peregrine Capital, Peregrine Securities, Java Capital, which are sponsors for listed companies. Headline earnings increased by 6%, earnings attributable to ordinary shares by 4%, and this drives me crazy. I mean, because as an investor, what you want is one number, right? Okay.
Yes.
And I know we've got very smart analysts who can analyze and tell you exactly why. So, I mean, we know why, that the one number looks like 6 and the other number looks like it only increased by 4%. And that's because of a lower weighted average number of treasury shares. And treasury shares really are shares owned by the company. Very basically. But the big news, I think, with the announcement of Peregrine's results was that they are selling Peregrine Securities to a company called Lehi Securities, which is a BEE stockbroking business. And I think we all know that in this industry, stockbroking really has come under a lot of pressure lately, not just because consumers are struggling to invest, but also because of online platforms, and because fees are coming down. So if you're a trader, investor, now is a good time to invest because fees are under pressure. But yeah, that was really the big news with Peregrine. Okay. It's big, you know. I think it was, they sold it for 760 million. And it was basically like 20% of the business, you know. So it's a huge chunk of their business that they're selling it for. And while we're talking about BEE deals going down, Vodacom announced their BEE deal. Not a bad deal. I think, generally speaking, what they were trying to do was to keep the old Yebo Yetu shareholders as shareholders in Vodacom so that they could maintain their BEE status. They've rewritten the program. It's a 10-year lockup, unfortunately. These things seem to be getting longer and longer. And it's about 4% dilutive to earnings. That's what they said on the face of it. There's a little niggly bit about it, about them not paying dividends and being taken out of the cost of it being taken out of dividends. But you know, these BEE deals are always going to be slightly dilutive and detrimental to earnings for the company because the company basically finances these programs, if you like. Sea Harvest also announced that they, with a consortium of broad-based black economic empowerment investors.
How do you feel about these things? And I mean, I don't want to get you into any kind of political discussion here, but do you feel that these, as someone who's trying to look for value, do you feel that these deals improve or dilute or don't necessarily affect the outcome for a company that's running well?
Okay, so there's two sides to this. The immediate impact is negative. There's no doubt about it. Because these deals generally get done so that the company has to pay for it or give away shares at a discount.
So it's almost like a kind of a forced reallocation of assets by legislature.
Yes, yeah.
By legislation, sorry.
That's the first part of it. So I don't love it. The second part is that you cannot grow an economy without including everybody.
And let's be clear that these BEE deals seldom include ordinary, uneconomically involved people. It usually involves a coterie of the same people over and over again, an empowered and very much in power elite.
And so, unfortunately, that is what has happened with BEE.
So it's not much different to the oligarchies that exist in Russia.
Yeah, because they're just passing it on amongst each other, right? Yeah, so if you're in the know, you'll get into one of these BEE schemes, and if you're not, well,
but it's not like
they.
It's not like Sia is going to benefit from one of these things if he runs up with his 1,000 rand.
No. Well,
especially when they lock him in for like 10 years.
So the idea is that he should be able to. You know, that's right. What these Cecil Nzalas, Kanyisas, Yebo Yetus, Patuminatis, that's what they were supposed to do. But somehow they haven't. I mean, while we're talking about this, should we talk about the new mining charter? Because that was...
yes, let's talk about that. Yeah. All right, go on. So you want to talk about the new mining charter?
That's quite a reaction, yes.
So the new mining charter was released, I don't know how many versions of this thing there are. It was released on Friday. And basically, black ownership now has to go from 25 to 30%. And 10% of the black ownership has to be given at a discount. So, and also they said, this is the important part, I think, once empowered, always empowered. That's what they're looking for. And so it's kind of, I think we were prepared for this. And so I'm not sure what's going to happen to the mining shares today, actually. I still haven't kind of figured it out in my head. I guess it's a wait and see situation, whether investors like it or not.
All right. Well, let's see. I don't imagine that people are going to be thrilled and they're going to be running to get involved in mining.
No, exactly.
And I'm talking about international investors.
I was going to say, so if you're an international investor...
It's not a huge amount of money here, so it has to come from somewhere.
So previously you only had to give away 25%, now you have to give away 30% in ownership. Right. And this is the problem with these BEE deals. It's about ownership. It's not about... I mean, okay, it is about a little bit of procurement and social development and all that, but mainly they focus on equity, which is a problem, I think.
All right. Let's talk about the U.S. Fed, because we often talk about our own economy to the exclusion of everything else, but we're part of an ecosystem, and what happens in America causes ripples here.
Right. So last week, the U.S. Fed raised interest rates. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. The problem now is that, obviously, the rand will weaken. because money will flow to the higher yield. We don't expect South African interest rates to follow U.S. interest rates higher just yet. But can I just warn you that it is a huge possibility for next year?
Now, what would that mean for us?
Higher interest rates?
Yeah, in terms of imports, exports, the rand, dollar.
Okay. So from an investment point of view, first of all, they would go to higher yielding interest rates, right?
Yeah.
So because interest rates are now rising. And by the way, they're expecting 4 rate hikes for this year for the U.S., which has changed. First it was 3, or first it was 2, then it was 3, now it's 4. So everything about the U.S., the economy's fine, inflation is solid, they're happy, they're going to raise interest rates. For us, so as I said, investment will flow away from us towards the U.S., and the rand will weaken. I mean, and that's all you need to know, because the consequences of that you already know. You already know weaker rand causes higher inflation, less investment.
Which will mean our bank has to then raise the interest rates.
So for them to follow if they want to. It's difficult for them. Why would they?
Yeah.
It's not like the economy is stable. The inflation is well within target. So they've got no reason to raise interest rates other than to follow the U.S. So I think they'll put it off for as long as they can.
All right.
But it's almost an inevitability.
Okay.
And then while we're talking about central banks, the European Central Bank said they were keeping rates on hold, but they warned that they were stopping their 2.5 trillion euro bond buying program. So they started that in March 2015 because the markets weren't recovering like they should from 2008. So basically they gave the economy a lifeline, shall we say, you know, the bond market. And the idea was to create money and buy bonds so that the money would flow from the banks to the hands of the consumer. I'm not sure it flowed as quickly as they would have liked it. But yes, so the central bank seems to, the ECB seems to think that the European economy is recovering sufficiently. Again, they've got solid inflation. They're looking for economic growth of 2.1 or between 2.1 and 2.4% this year.
All right.
Better than us, by far.
Thank you, Anthea. That's lots to think about this Monday morning.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
See you in a week. And by the way, there are people who are asking about hashtag invest. We're not ignoring it. And I promise you we'll be giving you regular updates very, very soon, because we did get an email from someone the other day. It's like, what's going on? Why are you ignoring us? Not ignoring you.
No, definitely not ignoring. In fact, I need to respond to that email, because there was a bit of a tech glitch, but we've sorted it out now.
Yeah, we've sorted that out. And also, if you look at the performance, we're pretty damn pleased at this stage. It's way better than anybody who'd invested like run in cryptocurrencies. Tell you that. And that's not even hard, but Anthea's made sure we performed. All right, well, we'll talk some more about that later on and get to plenty of other good stuff. You can get hold of us on 0861-555-189. If you want to WhatsApp us, 0797-482-0090.
This is CliffCentral.com.